Isn't God's love great? Amen. That song says it so well. It's overwhelming when we understand the magnitude of God's love for us and who we were. This morning, as we finish up our messages on that God loves us and that you are loved, I want to bring you today a message that I've entitled, A Message from the Cross. We look all around us and we see crosses everywhere we go. Amen. We see them on the steeple of a church. We see people who have them in their ears. We see people who have them around their neck. We see people who have them tattooed on themselves. We see them in displays in the stores. Everywhere we go, we see a cross. And you can ask some what that means to them, and you will get a variety of answers. I think you would probably agree with that. Some who wear it around their neck, and you say, what does that cross mean to you? They say, what are you talking about? That cross around your neck, what does it mean? Oh, it's a pretty piece of jewelry. And to some, that's what the cross is. You might find some that say, oh, it's a cross. There was something happened years ago overseas I've heard about. And you'll have some that will even tell you when you ask them, what does that cross mean? And they tell you it means that somebody loves me. And you have some that'll tell you, and I think we would all agree with this, that it's the way to heaven. What Christ did on that cross paid a way for me. And I would say they were pretty spot on, wouldn't you? There was nothing else we could do. But I'm here to tell you today that there's something more. There is a message that comes from the cross that I want you to hear. Not only is it just the message that God loves you, but in your bulletin you'll see there, the first thing I want us to say, the in-depth message, while we understand that the cross represents God's love, while we understand that the cross was a symbol, we understand that the cross was necessary for the perfect Son of Jesus Christ to come and to die on that cross for our forgiveness, to pay the sin debt that we could not too. What is the underlying message? Because I believe there's one thing that oftentimes might be understood but greatly missed. And that is, God loves you just the way you are. That's hard for us to understand. God loves you just the way you are. Oftentimes, I believe in my own life, as a believer, I get a little puffed up in my chest. You know what Christ did? He went on that cross and he died for me. I'm a good Christian. Maybe I'm a good Baptist. Or you turn on some TV programs, you'll hear each religion say theirs the best. But what Christ did on that cross was for every single person in this world, regardless if they're a believer or not. Regardless if they're a church member or not, God loves you and everyone just the way you are. You might say, well, Pastor, I understand that. But what about those who don't receive Him? God loves them too. Well, God sends them to hell. Well, no, let's back up just a moment. God sends no one to hell. They choose to go. He just passes down the sentence because they chose to refuse that. But His love is strong enough that when He gives a command, He provided a way. He says, come. He provided the way, and the cross says that. But the cross tells us that God loves us just the way we are. Would you stand this morning with your Bibles turning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Y'all are a little quiet this morning, so once you've turned there, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And let's listen to how God loves us just the way we are. It says, "For while we were still helpless or weak or without strength, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Father God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would truly help this to sink in to us. That, Father, Lord, you would help us to behold the wonderful things, that Holy Spirit would enlighten your word to us. Our eyes would see it, our ears would hear it, our hearts would feel it, and they would burn for you. And God, you would draw near to us today as we're drawing near to you. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say this again. That's why it's there in your outline. I wanted to get it down that God loves you just the way you are. And I'm so glad, church, that God loved me just the way I was and just the way I am, because I could never prepare myself to be worthy of God's love. But God chose in his unconditional love, in his agape love for us, he chose to love us before we were ever even created, and he loves us just the way we are. He loved us just the way we were. Scripture tells us there back in verse 6, it said, I want you to see those words, "For while we were still helpless." While we were weak, while we had no strength. You see, in our flesh, God loves the entire world. The Bible tells us what in John 3:16, "For God so loved the" what? "World." That's everyone. God loves us all. And we were at one time in our life helpless. And we were weak because we in ourselves, in our flesh, we could not go to God. We could not come before God in our nasty, filthy, dirty, sinful rags. But God loved us and he called us into his presence. Scripture tells us that we come by the quickening of the Spirit. No one comes to the Father unless God calls him. Well, God is calling all. He made the sign available, the cross. And the cross goes through our salvation, but he tells us that he loves us like we are because he come when we were helpless, when we couldn't, when we were weak. Why were we weak? There was nothing that we could do to satisfy God's judgment for the sin in our life. I might have mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. You know, Jesus was the perfect one. Death is required. Bloodshed is required for the remission or for the payment or what is due for the sin that we've earned. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for us. We got proof that God received that sacrifice because he come out of the grave. Back in the Old Testament time, where God is giving us the images and the picture of what is to come, the priest once a year would have to bathe himself, be ceremonial clean, to go into the Holy of Holies to take the lamb that was slaughtered and sprinkle the blood at the mercy seat in hope and through faith that what he was doing God would receive, because if God didn't receive it and he wasn't right, he would die right where he was and they would have to drag him out. But when the priest comes out, it signifies that the Lord was pleased and he received that sacrifice. Well, Jesus Christ is the great high priest. Jesus Christ is the lamb and the blood that was shed. Jesus Christ died on that cross. He went into the Holy of Holies to pay our price, and thank the Lord he said, I receive that. And he raised his son out of the grave as a testimony that there was victory over death, there's victory over sin, that our sin has been paid for, and that God received it once and for all. Well, good. Well, can't I just die for my sin? If you die in your sin, you die in your sin, and it doesn't cover for itself, and you'll spend all eternity dead in hell. We can't do it. We were helpless and we were weak in what God said it took. God loves us just the way we are. It tells us there also, verse 6, for while we were still sinners or still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. God loves the weak. Amen? God loves the ungodly. That's a little hard to understand. Do you agree? It is for me. To really grasp the magnitude and the love that God has for you, has for me, has for this world, had for us, that when we were ungodly, when we were not matching up to his standards, God set one standard. He said, if you can meet this standard, you'll be good enough. And he said, be like me, perfect. Now, I know some of you might think you're perfect, but none of us are perfect. We've all at one point in time in life had a bad thought. Maybe took something that didn't belong to us. Didn't do what we were supposed to do. Maybe we lied to mom and dad growing up about where we were or what we were doing. Our life is filled with sin because Adam and Eve sinned. The first Adam came and he sinned. And because of that, all human flesh from that point forward has been born into this nature of sin. Guess what? I have never seen a child, I've never seen a baby or a young toddler who you had to teach to be bad. You don't have to teach us how to sin. It's in us, in our flesh. And because we're weak, God loved us and he sent his son for us. He loved us even while we were still ungodly, while we were going against his will. Praise the Lord, because I would have never become on the pathway to becoming godly without God loving me in my ungodliness. Also, it tells us in verse 8, I tell you, most of the time in Scripture, when you see the word but, get ready, something good's fixing to happen. I have it circled right here in my Bible. Look at verse 8. He said that, verse 6, while we were sinners and helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. It says, but, in verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us. Here's these words again. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Guess what? God loves the weak. God loves the ungodly, and God loves the sinner. Thank you, God. Amen? Because guess what? We were all sinners. And those of us who are born-again believers, the best thing that we can say is that we're a sinner saved by grace. Because we were weak, and we couldn't do it. And yet God loved us. We were ungodly, and yet God loved us just the way we were. And it says that he wanted to demonstrate how great a love he has for you and me and for this world, in that while we were sinners, as we said last week, dirty and in that mud, wallowing in the slop of sin and having a field day, thinking nothing about it, Christ went to that cross and he died for you and for me. And guess what? He died for those that are outside this wall. He died for those who are not church members. He died for those who to this day laugh in his face. He still loves them. This love is hard for us to understand, because just because God loves us doesn't mean we get a hall pass. We don't get an excuse. We don't get a free-for-all. Because God's love is so great, there is a price to pay. And God loves, and he provided a way. And those who come to him, he freely gives to those who receive and accept. And those who reject, because of his great love, get exactly what they want. If you don't want Christ here on earth, you're sure not going to want a Christ after. I mean, wow, great is it that we get to live as believers. We get to live heaven on earth. We're living with Christ in our life. Heaven is where Christ is. We get the hope, the promise, the assurance, the comfort that when we do close our eyes on this earth and we take that last breath, praise the Lord, when we open our eyes, we see Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, God loves those who love him. It's what the world tells you. Love those who love you. Hate those who hate you. Well, that's not God. He loves us all. And because God is holy, he is just. And there is that you get to choose. But God loves you just the way you are. And Christ died while we were sinners. Praise the Lord. To come and to pay our price. It said Christ died for us. And do you know also, look at verse 10. We'll see those words, while we were, again. That means before Christ come into us. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His life on the cross was a demonstration of his love for us. It said, while we were enemies. Here again is the amazing part of God and his love, because it, tell you what, it's hard for me. It's hard for me to love my enemies. It's hard for me to like them, much less want to do anything for them. How many of you in here, if you had the option, if I said I would pay for it, would take your worst enemy and go sit down and have supper with them at my expense? Probably very few would raise your hand. We don't want nothing to do with them. They're our enemy. But God loves us just the way we were when we were his enemy. He died for us to show us his love. I love the picture that we watched, the study that we went through one time about Christ around Easter time, and many of y'all that were here then remember the beautiful way that they portrayed that. I had never seen it that way, where you have they've made their way to Calvary. Jesus has been beat. The crosses are laying there. You see over on this side, and they shoot over here, the thieves, and they're fighting, trying to get off, and they're holding them down on the cross. When the camera pans over, and you see Jesus laying in the dirt, dragging himself to the cross and putting his hands out for them to nail. While we were his enemy, he loved us just the way we were. Amen. And church, why it is hard for us to fathom that, he loves everyone just the same. His love doesn't mean that someone doesn't go to hell. I believe his love is shown all the more because he stays true to his word and that he's faithful to who he is. You see, God loves you just the way you are. And also this morning, I believe we get a message from the cross that God loves you regardless of the way you are. God loves you regardless of the way you are. What do I mean by that? God loves you unconditionally. We were not worthy of Christ's death. We're not worthy to come before God. But unconditionally, he loved us. He loved you. He loves me. He loves this world unconditionally. That means that I didn't earn my salvation. Amen. It was from God's grace. And it means that I can't lose my salvation. Praise the Lord, because I tell you what, I mess up every day. And if God had a condition on his love for me, I might as well just walk right on off this stage and out those doors. But he loves unconditionally, regardless of how we are, regardless if we're a great Christian or not, regardless if we're a heathen, hell-bound sinner, living life as the world says to the fullest, God still loves them. God still loves us. And he comes for us. And also, we get here, let me read this to you real quick. I read in an article, show you a little bit about the way someone described God's unconditional love. It says there are four marks of unconditional love, and they are, this is love, unfailing, unrestricted, steadfast, and it is productive. Think about that just a moment. I would say that pretty much covers unconditional love. It says it's unfailing. It's there. God's love never fails. Amen? Amen? His love never fails. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how you are, regardless of the way you live, God's love is there. I will agree, that is hard for me sometimes to understand that. I believe and I can understand, and I'll amen with you every day, how God loves those who come to church. God loves those who has come to receive him. But you know, God loves those even who rejects him. He still loves. He's still offering. It's never failing. It's unrestricted. Praise the Lord, God didn't do a lottery and draw numbers 1, 5, and 7. They're going to make it. I'm going to love numbers 1, 5, and 7. But if you're 2, 4, and 6, then sorry, it's not your number. No, he loves everyone. He doesn't restrict his love. Now, yes, praise the Lord, those of us who receive his love, he's able to work in our life, and he's able to change us, and he's able to make us better, and he's able to make us who we want. Some of you have families. Most of you might have had children at your time. As your children grow up, you love all of your children. That's not restricted. But if you have those children who don't receive you, who don't want no part of you, who wants to distance themselves from you, you can't lavish your love on the one who comes around. Amen? The one who's there, the one that comes and expresses their love. You don't love any different, but it allows you to love in a whole new way those who receive it. So it's unrestricted. It's steadfast. It's always going to be there. God is there and he's loving even when he has to get down with me and pick me up time and time again. And it's productive. Let me tell you what, church, God's love is productive. Number one, it's productive because he demonstrated it on the cross, and because of that, it changed my life. It changed your life as a believer. God's love doesn't harm. It wants the best for you. God's love in your life, when you receive it, begins to change you. You know, I strive each and every day to spend some time in relationship and fellowship with God and reading his word. And God comes in and he speaks with me. And his love is productive because it changes me. It makes me who I am today. I grow to be more and more like Christ. He's changed me over the years that I've been here. You know, Cole was just sharing with me, in January of this year, it was 10 years that y'all called me to come and be your interim pastor. Do you know yesterday marked the anniversary of 10 years that y'all decided, let's just drop the interim and call me to be your full-time pastor. Great, one of the greatest things that's ever happened in my life. But you know, I'm different today than I was then. You're all different today than you were then, because God's love is productive. It works in us and it changes us. And also, God loves you regardless of the way you are. Not only is his love unconditional, but it's unmerited. I don't deserve it. Ain't a thing on this world I could do to say, hey, God, look at me. Buddy, let me tell you what, you owe me your love. Pour it on me. Yeah, he's going to pour something on me, all right, but it ain't going to be what I want. God's love for us is unmerited. That's how, because we don't deserve it, you know, that's the same way God can love that one that we call the heathen. It's the same way God can love the one who is lost because they don't deserve it any more than I do. God's love is unmerited. And we need to understand today that regardless of who we are today, regardless of who we were, God loves us just the way we are. And I believe that that is a message that the cross needs to proclaim and that everyone in this world needs to hear, because there are people who believe, I don't deserve God's love. Well, amen. They got the right ticket. They're on the right path. God can't love me. You don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Because what you have done is a sin just the same as what I have done. And as we often say around here, when we go to the foot of the cross, God's demonstration, it's level at the ground, regardless of what you or anyone has ever done, there is no one who is too far away for God to love, because he loves everyone. He is everywhere. He loves us just like we are. We're helpless. We were ungodly. We were sinners and we were his enemy. Let me close this morning with this verse out of John 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. Listen to this. And I believe we get a great painting, a great picture of this love. And maybe how this love should affect us. Jesus is speaking to the disciples and those around. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than one that would lay down his life for his friends. No greater love demonstrated for you and for I than Christ laying down his life for us. So if Satan ever gets in your head and says you're not loved, he's a liar. We know that. He's the father of lies. If anyone ever tells you you're not loved, they're a liar. Because God is love, and this entire book, God's message to us, this entire letter tells us that God loves you. Amen? And church, we can love those in this world that are difficult to love, because we know that God loves them. I pray that this message that God loves you just the way you are reaches down on the inside this morning and helps you understand that he loves you, but helps us to understand that we can love those that are around us as believers, demonstrating God's love toward others. May you bow your heads. Father God, this morning I just come to you and I thank you for your great love. I thank you, God, that you love us unconditionally. Father, we didn't merit it, but Father, Lord, that message, the cross, says that you love us just the way we are, because we don't have to change to come to you. You take us just the way we are. Father, I pray if there's the one here today, Lord, that Holy Spirit is convicting and calling just the way they are, that, Lord, today they would surrender to you and say, Father, I come just the way I am. I believe that your son's death paid my price. I'm a sinner and I need salvation. Father, you'll wrap your arms around them. And Father, that very moment, through faith, you'll save them. Father, I pray that that would happen in a mighty way today. Lord God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your son, Jesus. Amen.